It's Bucks at 6 as we roll on here on your Friday night. We're going to chat with our buddy Justin Garcia here in just a second, but it's only fitting that the Packers decided to trade up 19 picks during the commercial break, and they've got a wide receiver. The Green Bay Packers have selected North Dakota State wide receiver Christian Watson, pick number 34, second pick of the second round. So the wide receiver has been drafted by the Packers. Interesting. Let's go to the phone lines now, where the Milwaukee Bucks radio host Justin Garcia joins us, wrestling aficionado, deadhead, and regular guy. Justin, I asked Chris earlier if this was an acceptable question to ask you, so I'm going to ask you it. What'd you do today, Justin?
like the whole day, you want to know?
Yeah, I want your day summed up.
Okay. Woke up, took a shower. I brushed my teeth after I shower. I don't know if you guys are different, but
I do the same.
That. Okay, good. You're not a savage. And just kind of waited, you know, like I think that's what you're getting at. It's kind of a weird spot where it's like, well, I've got a couple of days off now. This is kind of weird. I've somewhat followed the NFL draft. It's been kind of just looking through some numbers on cleaning the glass and trying to see where could the Bucks possibly have an advantage in this series. But it's been this weird kind of waiting zone for 72 hours now. Of like, let's just get to game one already.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, right? I kind of opened the show with I'm a really impatient dude by nature, but the excitement behind this series makes it seem like I've been waiting for much longer than, what, less than 48 hours for this thing to start. This seems like by far the most competitive and best series of the second round, you would agree?
I hope so. I think if you force me to say what it would be the most competitive, I think it would be the Heat and the Sixers because of the injury issue that the Bucks have. I mean, it's a Celtics team that, you know, even if the Bucks are fully healthy, I would have probably leaned towards the Celtics to win the series the way they've been playing and some of the matchup problems that they create for the Bucks. But, you know, the Bucks have, as we've seen the last year especially, the Bucks have always done better in the underdog role, and when their back is against the wall, that's when they perform best. So I think your hope is, you know, let's not just discount what they've been able to do, and the Celtics do look great, but that was a good matchup for the Celtics as well. Now, I know the Bucks' defense looked great, and you could say, well, the Bulls are not very good, and that's also true, but there's just something about this team, when you count them out and they have their backs against the wall, that's when we tend to see the best from all of these guys, and from Coach Mike Budenholzer especially. I know we've pointed to how good this team gets as the series progresses. So I think goal number one for the Bucks is just get one game in Boston. Because, yes, you've come back from 2-0 deficits before, but a 2-0 deficit when you don't have Chris Middleton is much different from where they were last year. Even when they were without Giannis in the conference finals, that series was still tied at 2 games apiece. So you just had to beat an inferior Hawks team without your best player. Here, if you fall down 2-0, and depending on what those games look like, if you're not 100%, that could make it pretty tough. So that's not to say I don't think it's going to be a competitive series. I think even if the Bucks bowl out early here, I think it's going to be competitive. And that's what we saw from the Nets and the Celtics series, where that series was separated by 18 points in 4 games. Yes, it was a sweep, but the average margin of victory was 4.5 points in that series. So I think that's what we're looking at here as well. But in terms of lengthy competitive series, I mean, yes, this could go 7 or more, or not more, but I think we're going to
get 7. I don't think it could
7.
Go more, yeah.
Yeah, it can't go more. I just learned that. But I think we're going to get 7 from the Heat and the 76ers.
Justin Garcia, studio host of the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network, with us here on Bucks at 6. And you kept referencing the adjustments, right, that the Milwaukee Bucks have made so historically under Coach Mike Budenholzer the last couple of seasons. What is it about that? It seems like the switch between games 2 to game 3 has just been always in the favor of Mike Budenholzer. Why is that? Is there a reasoning behind that, or is it just a funny statistic?
It might be a little bold. So I think the big thing is what we know and what we've seen from Bud is you know, it was the knock on him by a lot of fans the first 2 years. He's a guy that in game is not going to make a lot of adjustments. And he believes, and a lot of coaches think this way as well, but he believes in if we're going to lose, we're going to go down doing something that we're accustomed to doing. And this is the thing that we did all season long. I'd rather go out knowing we played our way than trying something new that maybe the team wasn't prepared for. So in terms of the in-game adjustments, I think that's why you've seen some of those. You know, think about game two against the Nets last year where the Bucks were down by nearly 50 at one point, and it's just kind of more of the same. He's not an in-game adjustment guy. He's a, okay, let's kind of sit back and look, how did this go? Where were some of the areas that we had the advantages? And he makes the adjustments within that series and game to game, not so much within the game. So it's not the short-term fix that you get from him, but it's more the long-term thing. And, you know, last year we saw it was kind of self-inflicted a lot of times, and that was certainly the case in the Bulls series as well. That was another, man, this team looks totally different in Game 3 than they did in Game 1. The Chris Middleton injury obviously had a lot to do with that when you start a different front court. But just, hey, let's go back to dominating the paint. Let's take away some of those shots. Let's play with our size. Let's be the more aggressive team that sometimes it's just going through practice and film study and saying, look, guys, this is where we have the advantage. And, you know, even you can't really say, well, here's the adjustment you make, but things as simple as if we don't turn the ball over 20 times, we're probably going to be a lot better. So let's make sure we don't have 20 turnovers this game.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. I mean, it was very sloppy to start that series. They cleaned it up. I think it was game four, Justin. Correct me if I'm wrong. They had 15 turnovers, but they still won in a blowout. So, you know, they cleaned it up for the most part, but it was still that game four, a little bit messier than we would have liked, but a big win nonetheless. I feel like I underestimate the loss of Chris Middleton, right? I know how good he is. I know how important to this team he is. I mean, he was on full display last postseason. But I still feel like the Bucks can really compete with Boston. Do you think I'm underestimating Boston or the Chris Middleton injury?
Well, I think they can compete with Boston. I think it's just, you know, if you look up and down the rosters and look at how the Celtics are playing now, if you tell me the Bucks are not going to be 100%, that you would have to say the Celtics have the big advantage in this series. But I think they can compete with them. I mean, they have the best player in the league on their team. You have a good defender and one at the point of attack in Drew Holiday. Giannis and Drew are both very good switch defenders as well, so that's going to help. And this series is going to require a lot of Brook Lopez, being the guy that we saw in games 5 and 6 against the Hawks last year, being the guy that we saw against the Bulls in those series as well. And late in the regular season, too, it was clear Brook was getting his offense back there. So, yeah, they can be competitive with him. Your margin for error is very slim here. So, you know, we joked about the turnovers. You can't turn it over at a high volume. You can't have a 20% shooting day from the field and from three point, I should say. That you just can't give the Celtics any more advantages than they already have when you're entering the series without Chris Middleton. Now, are the Bucks in a better spot to be without Chris Middleton versus Giannis? It's not ideal for either. We've seen them win without Giannis. The team you beat without Giannis is not as good as the Celtics team is. So when you're playing the better team, sure, you would much rather have Giannis available if you're saying one of these guys is going to be out. But to me, the big thing is, you know, I do expect this to be competitive. And like we said at the top, this team just performs better when they're backed against the wall in that underdog role. But you can't shoot yourself in the foot. And you have a very, very slim margin for error in this series.
Couple more things for you. Justin Garcia with us, Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network host on your Friday night. Justin, I asked Tony Smith this question yesterday, and I'm intrigued by your response. There's two matchups in this upcoming series that really intrigue me, and that would be Marcus Smart and Drew Holiday, and of course Jason Tatum and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Which one of those matchups intrigues you more?
They're both very intriguing. Because saw from Jason Tatum in that Nets series, that Jason Tatum was making a statement of, you know, I'm here. And we saw the comments towards the end of the regular season that, I think it was Kevin Durant, that Jason Tatum had that discussion with of, hey, I'm winning the MVP next year, and that award is going to be mine going forward. That's certainly the way he played in the first round. And, you know, his size and physicality gave Kevin Durant a lot of fits. So I would assume you're going to see a lot of Jason Tatum on Giannis, but, you know, same with both of these teams. I don't think it's going to be exclusively. To me, I would almost say Marcus Smart, because I expect Jason Tatum to have a big series here and to score a lot of points. He started slow against the Bucks in his career, but really ever since that season opener last year, where he banked in the three-pointer to win the game on opening night just before Christmas, he put up some big performances against the Bucks. So I think you approach the series knowing Tatum's going to get hit. It's Marcus Smart and those guys that you have to make sure this guy is not going to beat us. We can live with Jason Tatum scoring 30. Marcus Smart can't hit 5 or 6 threes. And Marcus Smart, what makes him intriguing as well is you're going to see a lot of Marcus Smart on Giannis. That, you know, we saw Alex Caruso do that. We've seen it during the regular season as well. So, to me, I would default to the Marcus Smart-Drew matchup just because Marcus Smart in general, he's going to have a big task there with Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday on Marcus Smart, I would imagine we'll see that for portions. I think you're going to see Drew on Jaylen Brown quite a bit too. But Marcus Smart, to me, is one of, he's not the only, but he's one of the X factors in this series. Because, you know, he's going to make things tough defensively. And like we said, he's going to be the guy that I think Bucks fans are going to be very frustrated with, because same thing we saw with Alex Caruso. He's going to take on Giannis. He's going to draw some charges in this series. But it can't be Marcus Smart scoring 25 and hitting threes like he did in that final game that these two teams played in Milwaukee in the regular season. So if that's the Marcus Smart you get, then the Bucks could be in big trouble.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, you'd hope that the Bucks defense can find a way to slow down Tatum, similarly to how they did DeMar DeRozan late in that Bulls series, where they were limiting him to single-digit shots or 10 shots in that final game. If there was a way, and I don't know that it'll be as easy of a task as it was against DeMar DeRozan, to limit Jason Tatum's offensive output, you put yourself in a really nice position. Justin, I gotta ask, what's on TV tonight? NFL Draft, Grizzlies, T-Wolves, Friday Night Smackdown, what are you watching tonight?
probably a little all of the above. You left off AEW Rampage, too. That'll be on there. I watched the first two games of the Nets and Celtics series. I gotta go back and watch games 3 and 4 as well, just to see some of the things that the Celtics threw at Brooklyn. But it's going to be a combination of that with a heavy emphasis on probably SmackDown and Rampage. And then I'll follow on Twitter to see what the Packers did here in the draft. And if the Timberwolves series is close, game is close, I'll tune into that too. Because we're in a weird spot, kind of to the first question you asked, of looking at the schedules being released for the second round, you start to size things up and think, man, I hope one of those teams wins last night that's trailing in the series just so we can get a game 7. We have the potential for 0 of them, and we know there's going to be no games on Saturday. So well, you ask me, what is doing your day-to-day? It's tomorrow. That's the big one. What am I going to do tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm running an 8K tomorrow. I don't know how I talked myself into running an 8K tomorrow, but I might not 8, be able to talk
miles,
to you next
huh?
time. Jeez. Yeah, 8,000 miles. Going to be an easy one. So I don't know that I'll be here to talk to you next week, Justin, because I might still be recovering. But appreciate the time as always, buddy. Enjoy whatever your weekend holds, because I know you're as impatient as I am as we wait for Sunday's game one.
So the 8K is tomorrow, you're saying?
That's correct. Tomorrow morning. All right. I've trained once, and it didn't go well. Yeah.
I have fettuccine Alfredo. Just pound that before the run, and you should be good.
All right, good to know. I've got spaghetti in the crock pot, so that's tonight. But fettuccine, I might order some of that, too. I don't know. Thanks, Justin.
All right, see ya.
That's Justin Garcia, studio host of the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network. You hear him before, halftime, postgame, Bucks talk. He's Mr. Bucks, so I always appreciate his time. Chris, what the hell was he doing? Was he driving? Was he directing traffic? It was loud. It was noisy behind him. I didn't get
that.
Yeah,
he was driving and probably had his window down a little bit maybe, and he just seemed like he was indecisive on what he was doing driving. Yeah.
Well, that's always safe. Appreciate Justin Garcia. We'll go around the NBA next. Only one game tonight, as I mentioned. Grizzlies, Timberwolves, game 6 tonight. The only one on the NBA slate. We'll get into that and some other headlines. That's next. It's Bucks at 6:32 on ESPN Milwaukee.